Hallelujah. I was praying this morning, and I was struggling with the idea of what we were just singing with about that there's just so much going on. There's so much in people's lives. There's so much craziness. There's death. There's financial problems and all this. And you think about it for your own life, and you start thinking about it for your friends and family. You start thinking about it for your church and even just your neighbors, and you see the hurt and you see the pain. You see the frustration, and you sit there and be like, God, like what? Like nothing's going to work. This is difficult. Like what can we do? And I felt it as clear as day. He's like, no, that's my job. You just trust in me. You follow me. You be led of my spirit. I do the moving. I do the changing of hearts. I do the delivering. I do the healing. I bring people free. Praise God. I trust in God. If you can open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you remain standing while we read this. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You could be seated this morning. Excuse me. In five verses, we see the word reconcile or reconciling or reconciled or reconciliation quite a few times. This morning, I want to speak on the subject, the work of reconciliation. The work of reconciliation. When I say the word reconcile or reconciliation, does something come to mind? You don't got to say it, but does something come to mind right away? Do you know what that means? Because there's so many words in the Bible, I feel like every time I read them, sometimes I feel like I need to just redefine what it means for myself. Because you got reconciliation, you got sanctification, you got justification, you got righteousness. There's all these words, great words. But reconciliation, sometimes it's a word I don't know if we see a lot in our everyday lives. Or should I say, we don't use that word a lot. I think we see reconciliation a lot. I think we see reconciling a lot in our everyday lives. I think first and foremost, we see it when it comes to relationships, right? So if we see in these verses, and we'll go into these verses differently, but reconciling is essentially bringing two things together. But in we're going to get a lot deeper than that, but reconciling when it comes to relationships is about bringing a relationship of two individuals or two parties that are in disagreement or that are in conflict or that are fighting, and bringing them together. Okay, this is now you're understanding, if you're married especially, right? But not if you're married too. Some of us, you've had friends that you've had very strong disagreements with. Maybe even disagreements you still have. Maybe I'm not on speaking terms with that person. That means you're not reconciled, okay? Just defining things here. You might have family members. I knew some people one time, and they said, this person did X, Y, and Z, and that is unforgivable. And so I will not talk to them. I will not be around them. I will not allow my family to be around them. Unforgivable. This is not reconciled, right? Maybe you have a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and you've had a fairly significant discussion, aggressive negotiation, as Jordan would call it, aggressive negotiation that has left you separate, maybe in different rooms, maybe in different parts of the house. And there's this Maybe sometimes it's little tiny things, but I'm talking about like there's a big disagreement. And so there's this separation between you. And so in all these situations, the question I always ask myself is, whose job is it to reconcile? Whose job is it to bridge the gap? Well, me, I feel, I'm going to go against this, so don't quote this. I feel that it's the person who did the wrong. That's the person that should reconcile. That's how I feel. It's my natural flesh, my brain, the way it thinks. I feel that that is who should do the reconciling. You said something wrong, Casey, so you need to be the one to leave your room and come over to this part of the house and apologize to me. You need to bridge the gap. And then we did some marriage stuff, and there's a guy, he jokes, and couples ask him, who should do the reconciling in a relationship? And he goes, the one that's the most mature. Well, that threw my idea out the window. Because I'm clearly the most mature in the relationship. The one who's the most mature. And so you can see this ideal of reconciliation is this removing of whatever is between you. Maybe that is space. Maybe that's a disagreement. Maybe that's a wrong. But reconciliation is removing whatever it is between you. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as one man, sin entered into the world, and then death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So what it's saying is here, God has a world. He creates Adam to live in this perfect world with a holy God. And Adam decides to sin. And because Adam sinned, now there's sin in the world. And because there's sin in the world, now there's death in the world. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So once again, fancy word. It's essentially saying there was nothing could be done about this sin because there was no law. We needed a law. Okay? So let's describe this because I think through this a lot and hopefully I get this right in the way my brain thinks about it. Imagine this all-powerful, holy God. Now, holy is perfect. There can't be anything bad with holy, right? This all-powerful, holy God creates a human and a perfect world and obviously gives the human a choice. And when the human sins, and I say the human because I don't like to blame Adam. It says, yes, it was one man, but we all know that if we were sitting there, we have a propensity to sin as well. There's something about wanting to be equal with God. Even Satan tried that. A third of God's angels wanted to be even with God. So I get it, right? So here he is, this perfect, holy God, and sin enters the world. Well, here's a principle, though, because sin and God cannot exist in the same space. Holiness and sin do not exist in the same space. And so we could say, well, that's not fair, God, that you made this world with this. You knew I was going to make a stupid mistake. You knew I was going to sin, and now you separated me from you, and that's your fault because you should have created a better world that had a better way of handling things. Maybe. I don't agree with that, but I could see where someone would get to that argument. But instead, we have this holy God, this perfect God, and when we sin, it just naturally, like oil and water, separates us from God. It's just a principle. It's the way it works. The only way to define it is by using the term. Sin is literally separation from God. That's what it is. That's what it does. Whereas holiness and God is this perfection, and they can't be together. There's separation. And so what this verse is saying is through one person, sin entered the world. And because of sin, there's death. And the sin, nothing could be done about this. Nothing could be done about this sin that separated us from God when there was no law. In fact, Isaiah 59:2 says, it describes it, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We see it physically. We see this separation that occurs because of sin. We see the idea that sin separates us from God. It creates a barrier, a chasm, a separation. It creates a space between us because sin, it's like two opposing magnets. They are the same magnets. You know what I'm talking about. The other side of the magnet that opposes it, right? It's like two magnets that are trying to push against each other. They won't connect. They won't join. Sin creates the separation. And so when we choose to sin or we choose things in opposition to God, it just naturally separates us from Him. It's just nature. It's like gravity. It's like oil and water. And so because of sin and the separation that exists because of it, there's a conflict. There's this broken relationship. What Adam and Eve were supposed to have with God was this perfect marriage, this perfect relationship, but sin separated them. So His presence now feels distance and His voice unheard. In the Old Testament, we see the word in the word reconcile or reconciliation or reconciled. And actually what's interesting, okay, if you just look through your Bible, depending on what version you use, different versions translated into English in a different way. But if you just looked up the word reconcile or reconciled or reconciliation or reconciling, you'd find a number of verses. It's not a huge number. But if you look at what the word is they used originally, you'd realize the original word is translated many different ways into the Old Testament. Let me give you an example. In Genesis 6:13, it says this, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them.'" Sounds like separation. "And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Verse 14, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch." Who saw the word reconcile in those verses? Nobody, because it's not in there. That's our English version of the word reconcile. If you go to the actual word they use the word cover in the Old Testament. So what the Hebrew people, when they read this, they read the word cover and reconcile in this verse would be the same thing. You're covering your boat with this pitch, with this black asphaltic bitumen material. So what's the purpose? The purpose is to protect so that the water and the things outside and God's destruction doesn't destroy what's in the boat because of the sinners in the boat. It's a covering to keep water out of the boat, to protect those people in the boat. In Genesis 32:20, it says, "And also say, 'Behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterwards I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.'" We see two brothers that are in disagreement, and the one is really trying to reconcile with his brother. But they don't use that word here. They use the word, they translate it into English as appease. I'm helping you define what reconciliation is by how we see it used in the Bible. Jacob said, "I want to appease this relationship with my brother. I want to make peace with my brother. I want to pacify the disagreement we have." All through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, you see this phrase. I'll show it in Leviticus 5:13. It says, "The priest shall make atonement for him, for his sin that he has committed." Dozens and dozens and dozens of times in Leviticus and Exodus. Atonement is another word they use for reconcile. The priest will cover, this is the Old Testament, it will cover the sin so that God doesn't see it, but God can now get back into good relationship with his people, or his people, I should say, can get back into good relationship with God. You see that the fact that it had to happen over and over and over and over again, this atonement, was that it was temporary. We would cover this sin. We would just kind of pretend it wasn't there. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, so if you're keeping track, that same word that translates to reconcile is used in Genesis as a covering. It's used in Genesis as an appeasing with Jacob and Esau, or a pacifying. It's used as an atonement, which is a fancy word to say covering for or reconciling. And in Proverbs, it says, "By mercy and truth," we talked about this Wednesday, "by grace and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." It's purged. There's another word we're seeing. It translated this idea of reconciliation, of doing something to remove what causes the separation between us and God. And so we see this definition in the Old Testament of reconciliation is to cover, to purge, to make atonement for, to pacify, to make peace, to restore. And the goal is that after this reconciliation has happened, there's peace. There's peace between the two parties. They're back into a state where they can coexist, we'll say. The idea is that if you cover or pacify the sin, you can get back in right standing with God for a time. What's interesting, if you read through the Old Testament, you see how man had to reconcile to God or atonement and all this stuff. It was always started by man. We talked about whose job is it. In the Old Testament, it was always started by man. It was always started by a sacrifice or a ritual that a priest, a mediator between the person who did the sinning and God would stand in the gap, and that person would help them sacrifice an animal or do a ritual. And so there was this mediator that was between the people. It was temporary. It was the reconciliation process was started by man to try to bridge the gap. And they used the blood of animals. And the effect of this worked for a little bit of time. It covered and restored God's favor and allowed communion with God again for a season. But we read the rest of Romans 5. Let's go to verse 17. And this is Paul in his letter to the Romans. He's continuing on what he said before. Remember, he started in verse 12. He said, because of one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Okay. Now look what he says in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. And here's verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many people were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What he's saying here is that it all started with Adam. Because of one person's disobedience, we're all made sinners and we're all made separate from God. But because of one man, he's telling us the story of Jesus, because of one man's decisions, we can all now be reconciled back to God. It's not man anymore. It's Jesus. And that's where this is really interesting to me, is because when you start looking in the New Testament and you start looking up the word reconcile, reconciling, reconciled, reconciliation, it means something different. It literally has a different definition. If you look it up and go back to how the Greek would describe this to you, they would say things like it means to reconcile completely, to change from enmity to friendship, to bring back a former state of harmony, to fully restore a relationship by removing the cause of division and creating peace between the two parties. And so let's see what this looks like in the New Testament. Through the Old Testament, we saw that reconciliation was done by man, and we initiated the process, and we had to go through a priest. But in Romans 5, verse 10, it says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, so much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received the reconciliation. Reconciliation comes because of what Jesus did on the cross. The one man separated us, and we can argue it all. We would all have been there too. We are there. We see that now. And the law, the reconciling of the Old Testament, just kept covering the sin. But now because of God, not a man anymore, not a priest, but because God put on flesh, became a man, went into this earth and died, because of that, we are now reconciled to God. The reconciliation is done by God. And it's done by not the blood of animals anymore. It's done by the blood of Jesus. And it doesn't cover sins anymore. It completely removes sins. Because Hebrews 10:4 says, for it is not possible, as Hebrews, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So all those years, there was no taking away of sins. It would just cover it so that they can get back closer to God for a time being. It's like a sandwich. You just keep putting another layer on it, right? A sin sandwich. John 1:29. This is John when he sees Jesus. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." God does the removal of the sins. It's not on us anymore. And I think that's an interesting fact because so often we think it's on us. We think there's some special, this thing, and I've got to wait till I'm here and can act a certain way. And God's like, no, I've done the reconciliation work for you already. It doesn't just cover anymore. It restores God's favor completely. And it's permanent. It's not for a time anymore. God said, I've done the work of reconciliation. And so in the Greek, when we see the word reconciliation, it's like I said, to reconcile completely, to bring back a former state of harmony. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens, separate from God and Israel, strangers to the promise, and you had no hope and without God in the world. Sounds like some separation. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus brings us, it bridges the gap that sin has caused. And so we get to our verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I love that word, anyone. If you were here Wednesday night, who was it for? Whoever. Whoever will. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever believes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The woman at the well, we talked about Wednesday night, whoever drinks. And so it's saying if anyone decides to, I'm going to follow Christ and I'm going to take advantage of the reconciliation he's already done, then they are a new creature. See, I think sometimes we get lost in the idea that it's done. It's done. It's good. Like the reconciliation is done. God died on the cross. And that's good. And it's done it for all of us. But Paul says over and over that it's in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, that where it says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, was Christ created beforehand, that we should walk in them. This is not a God did this great thing and we stand off to the side and are just really happily pointing at it and saying, look, he did this great thing. And that was for me, and I'm so happy about it, and it's so good, and my life is great. And this, look at that. Hey, everybody, look at this great Savior that did this great thing for me. He did a reconciliation. Look, he repaired the bridge between us. Isn't it a beautiful bridge? Wow, look at this bridge. There he is, right over there. There's this beautiful bridge. I'm so glad he made the bridge for me. I'm so glad that he reconciled the gap. He provided a way for me to get back to him. Man, it's a nice bridge. Oh, man. Oh, look at that bridge. I'm going to worship about the bridge. I'm going to sing about the bridge. I'm going to praise and pray about the fact that my God built the bridge, but I'm not going to walk in it. We got to walk in it, church. It's in walking in Christ that we become new creatures. It's in following him and taking advantage of the work he's already done. This reconciliation work is already done. And so often I think, and I made fun of it here, right? A little bit. But I've been there. I've been there and I've been like, ooh, that's a nice new bridge. I don't know if a sinner like me can cross that bridge. You don't know what I've been through. You know, I've probably been the one to burn this bridge down 4 or 5 times. I've chopped this thing down with a hatchet 4 or 5 times. I don't know if I should be the one to cross this bridge. I've got, you know what? God, I'm going to chop it down one more time so I can build the bridge back up so that it's my bridge to you because I feel better when it's me doing the work. And the message from God is, no, I've already reconciled you. I've already created the way to get close to you, to get back to you. You just got to walk across. You just got to walk in them. And if you do, you will be a new person in Christ. It is in taking advantage of the work that he has already done that we become a new creature. That we allow ourselves, sorry, cameraman, that we allow ourselves to put ourselves in the process. I'm going to get in the process. God, I know I don't deserve this bridge. I know I've burnt this bridge down many times. I know I probably want to build my own. I don't like how this bridge is built, but God, I'm going to keep taking steps in this process that you've already done in my life. Whoever will, anyone is in Christ. Anyone wants to take a step across that bridge, they're a new creation because that bridge has been created for everyone. That bridge has been created for everyone. Everyone, God has created a bridge back to him for. Verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. I don't know what he was talking about when he said it. I have an idea. But Jesus is dying on the cross and one of his final words is, "It is finished." There's a lot of things I'm sure he was saying it was finished, but I could just imagine him think, I've finally done it. I've rebuilt and repaired the bridge that separated man. They don't need to go to the priest anymore. They don't need to go to all the dead animals anymore. I have done it because I have died for them. I have covered their sins and taken them away, what we read in Isaiah. At the cross, the work of reconciliation was finished. Not started. It was finished. The work was finished. This work is already done. The bridge is already built. The opportunity for you to span the gap that separates you from God has already been done. We just got to respond. We still have to respond to take advantage of this reconciliation that he has created. Colossians 1:19 says, For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. And you, who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Sometimes it's our thought processes that keep us from crossing this bridge. Sometimes it's our thought processes that take us from being on the bridge to walking right back off the bridge. Sometimes it's our thought processes that keep us frozen on the bridge. It doesn't matter because God said, who were once alienated and enemies in your own mind, in your own mind. We like to stay on the other side of that bridge and say, no, God, I'm an enemy of you, or you're judging me, or I'm not good enough, or my sin separates, and God's over here standing saying, that's in your own mind, Peter. You think you're an enemy of me? I've already crossed the bridge. I've already made a bridge. I've already reconciled. If you think you're an enemy, that's a you problem. I've already done it. And when I say a you problem, I don't think God's judging us. He's saying, Peter, that's in your brain. Just start walking. Oh, but God, I don't, you know, I just feel like we're enemies. Just start walking, Peter. But I'm not good enough. Just start walking. Just start walking. I think of the prodigal son. The moment that man, the moment he started to turn was the moment he took a step on the bridge. And the moment he turned, and the moment his dad could see him taking steps in the right direction, his dad charged after him to find him. Verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, okay, so now it's going to describe it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. The idea that he said, it's been my job to build this bridge and to show people that there's nothing that separates them from me. They just got to start walking. And he said, now, Dan, that's your job. It's your job to start building bridges. Oh, but you don't know, Peter. You don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter, Dan. Let's start building bridges. Right, Brother Repka? It's your job to start building bridges. Sister Michelle, it's our job to start building bridges. He said, He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, the fact that he built this bridge, the fact that he has reconnected us, that was his work. And now he's saying, hey, Brother Bryce, can you walk across the bridge with somebody? Can you help somebody across the bridge? Can you show somebody that the bridge exists? Can you share this awesome testimony? Because I've created this bridge for everybody that will, whoever will, anyone. And some of them don't even know about it. I need you to help me. I want you to help me. And he said, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Not the actual physical grammatical word. But he said, yes, people are going to see your lifestyle. But he said, it's in sharing and letting people know there's nothing that you can do to keep you separate from God, because he has created a way back at all times. He expects us to do the same. He expects us to reconcile others to God. And a little side note here for a future Wednesday night, he expects you to reconcile with each other. Because he says in Matthew, he's like, if you're going to try to come and pray and you got something against your brother or sister, it's not going to go well. That's not how reconciliation works. You can't say, hey, God, we're going to be good. The Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. We have to be reconciled to each other. Sorry, it's a side note. The word of reconciliation comes from sharing that reconciliation exists and is available for all. Our job is to share the word of reconciliation. Our job is the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of making sure people know that there is nothing that separates them from God anymore. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We serve in a foreign land. You don't get to stay in this church. That's not an ambassador. Ambassadors are people that are outside of this building representing God and telling the story of the ministry of reconciliation to people. We are called to be like Abraham, the Hebrew nation, the children of that were strangers in a foreign land for the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There we go, righteousness. That we might finally reach that level or that path that says I'm good enough because God has made me righteous. Because I'm on the path and I'm following through the ministry of reconciliation that he has done already. He's not waiting for you to do something to build the bridge. The bridge is built already. He's already done it. It's complete. Let's all stand. We like to believe that there is nothing that can bridge this gap. We like to believe that our sins or our wrongdoings, the worst possible thing that we've thought of or done in secrecy or in public, we like to think that there is nothing that can bridge the gap between me and God because my sin in my past is too bad. What was done to me is too bad. But God says in Romans 8, verse 38, it says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So what's holding you back? If the bridge is there, if the connection exists, if the reconciliation is already done, even if it wasn't his fault, if it's already done and nothing can separate us anymore, we should be charging across that bridge because there is a God waiting with open arms saying, that's what I did. We went from being separated from God with no connection to needing a constant covering for our sins to allow connection. And then we will go from that to having a bridge built and to be reconciled with him. You can now have direct access with God. But you know what? We didn't just go from that to say, oh, there's a bridge. You can come over. This is awesome. Oh, it is. But it's so much better than that. Because in 1 John 4:13, it says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And John 3:5 said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so God's saying, I've taken you from being separate. I've taken you from needing the covering. I've taken you from needing something. I've reconciled us. And I'm going to take it a step further. I want to put my Spirit inside of you. Just come to me. Wherever you're at right now, as they start to sing, this front area is open. I don't know what the bridge is that you think exists or doesn't exist between you and this place, but come on down and pray. Come on down and lift your hands and start talking to God and say, I want to take advantage of this reconciliation. Come down and start talking to him, because he's already done the work. The work's already done. And it doesn't matter what your past is. Just come to him. You want to get that off your chest? Get it off your chest. Say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry I waited too long on the other side of the bridge. I'm sorry I chopped the bridge down, but God, I'm walking across it now. Come down and pray. God wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. And if you want somebody to pray with you, just come down and wait. Somebody will come find you and pray with you. The work is done. The work of reconciliation is done. We just got to start walking through it. Walk through it. You came and